So we come to the power of the resurrection. People have said that the resurrection is God's amen to the cross, to all that we've just heard about. And that is wonderfully true. But it's more even than that, amazing though that is. Because as you know, this was no raising back to human life. So if you think of the amen to the cross, it's also the guarantee of a new order. The resurrection of Jesus was the start of the new creation, which we shall all enjoy in heaven one day. It's the foretaste of a seismic change, a totally different creation. We promised you eschatology, didn't we, in some of these meetings, that we would look at the last things, the end times, of what is to come. And the resurrection points us to a major aspect of that. St. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, got that. First of all, the amen. He told us that our faith is not in vain, and we are not still dead in our sins, which would have been the case if the cross had happened without the resurrection. It would have been the extraordinary death of an extraordinary man. It would have been a martyrdom, wouldn't it? Which, of course, can have massive impact, but not all the things that Tony was reminding us of. So, yes, St. Paul got that about the amen. And he spoke, didn't he, that our faith would be in vain if it hadn't been for the resurrection. That all the things, so to speak, promised in the cross, the ransom and the redemption, all these aspects, could not have happened without the resurrection. But also, in 1 Corinthians 15, he listed all the differences between the old creation and the new. He showed us this aspect of guarantee as well as amen. He showed us how totally transforming the resurrection was, that the new life of Jesus, obviously a foretaste of ours, is as different as a plant from a seed. You gardeners and all of us who pretend to be, we take these little shriveled up things and put them in the ground. Something extraordinary emerges, doesn't it? I mean, think of an acorn, that little hard nut in its little shell, and then a vast oak tree, extraordinary. And the new life will be as different from our present life as the oak to the acorn. So here is St. Paul's list. The old is perishable. We're all too aware of that. The new is imperishable. It will never die. The old, in certain aspects, can be dishonorable, but the new is glorious. The old is subject to weakness. The new is powerful. The old is natural. The new is spiritual or supernatural. And above all, the newly created human beings will bear the likeness of Christ. So I'll just read to remind you of all that from 1 Corinthians 15:42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. It's impossible to describe, isn't it? The vastness of the change. Yes, there is some similarity. And yet we're talking about a mega, mega miracle with the resurrection of Jesus. There had been raisings from the dead before, hadn't there? In the Old Testament times, let alone in Jesus' ministry. But this is of a different order altogether. This is the guarantee of the new heavens and the new earth. This is the sign that God is going to recreate everything. And the resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee of that. We shall be clothed in immortality. Death has been swallowed up in victory. You've perhaps heard numerous sermons on what it will mean for us. And to some extent, we're given a pretty good idea by looking at the resurrection stories about Jesus. But it's more even than that, amazing though it is. In Romans 8, we're told that the whole of creation awaits this revelation of the immortal children of God, of us to be clothed with our new bodies, the sort of bodies we've been talking about. But St. Paul speaks there, what amazing insights he was given by the Spirit, that the creation itself will be transformed and no longer subject to decay. We can't imagine that, can we? How could it be that there will be this completely new creation, so totally different from this amazing creation which God has already brought about? Think of the care, as it were, to use human terms, really, of God's planning for this wonderful world in which we live. I absolutely revel in nature, Tony, especially with the cosmos. And I like to look at the little petals and the butterflies and the snowdrops and the snowflakes, and just every little detail, so beautiful, so perfect. What tender care, what love, what forethought God gave to this amazing creation. But because of sin, and somehow in his purposes from before the foundation of the world, he knew that a time would come when all this would have an end. And that's the flip side to this, to these amazing truths about the new heavens and the new earth. Because it means that one has to come to an end before the other can begin. And we don't have time this evening to speak about the indications that Scripture gives, but certainly fire rather than water play apart. And St. Peter, for example, makes that clear. And there are obviously aspects of judgment, of darkness, of terror, of cataclysmic events, which at one time, you know, centuries ago, until maybe even a century ago, people thought, well, that's got to be, you know, a divine intervention. They couldn't have imagined it happening by God, as it were, kick-starting natural processes. But now we know we could bring this earth to an end by our own hand, either through bombs or letting these biochemical weapons, or through global warming, which is partly caused by human beings. And we know too about asteroids, one in 1912, I believe it was, in the very north of the USSR, in sort of Siberia, and massive damage over, I believe it was 15,000 square miles, everything just whitened, because hardly anyone lived there. People didn't know too much about it. But this has happened, not exactly in our lifetime, but not so long ago. So yes, there is that side to it, of God declaring enough is enough, that although many will be rescued and have been down through the centuries and have trusted in his saving love, have looked to this cross, and the power of that cross has come to bear on their lives, yet there are sadly the majority, we are told, who go the broad way and ignore that narrow way. And so because of that and the effect of sin on the world, God has decreed that one day this order will come to an end. But there is the promise of the new heavens and the new earth. And we are told a little bit about that in the book of Revelation, and how in the list I told you there will be no decay, no weakness, we are told, no sorrow, no sighing, no tears anymore. It will be truly amazing, a totally different creation, linked of course to the old, just as our bodies will be, our transformed bodies. Just as the acorn to the oak, just as Jesus' body was. Sometimes he could be recognized, couldn't he? At other times, because he was so glorious, people didn't recognize him. There was similarity and yet total difference as well. And so it will be with us, and so it will be with creation itself. And when we speak of the heavens and the earth, we're talking of the universe. There's going to be a recreation of the universe itself. We're not just talking of the skies, but it does say the earth. And so in some amazing way, this earth itself will be transformed, recreated, so that it's a suitable environment for us to dwell in these amazing bodies that we shall have. And so the resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee of that, the first fruits of that. The more we ponder what he was like on this earth, the little we know when he had risen from the dead, the more we should begin to understand about the new creation and the new order, and the more we should be filled with hope, because it's because the cross is empty and because of his risen body that we know that we shall live forever because our life is hid with His, and His can never die. And we're there, we're right there in the palm of His hand, united with Him as we have put our trust in Him. And so we cannot die. And we need to just be so utterly consumed with these truths that yes, we'll go through a death process of the old body, but the immortal part of us is just that, that the eternal life that we have been given and are beginning to enjoy now is just that, eternal. And whatever man does to us and whatever the enemy throws at us, he cannot destroy that because we are hid with Christ in God. And one day we shall be enjoying that glorious and wonderful new creation. We shall be given a new purpose, more things to accomplish, and we shall walk and talk with our God.